So before Alex brings the message, I know there are some people, maybe in the congregation here, maybe even some that are watching, who have not heard his story. Let me give you a very, very brief overview of Alex. Alex was born in a small village in the bush of Africa, south of Lusaka, yes. Which is the capital. He was of the clan in his tribe who was destined to become the leaders of his tribe. And he was searching different ways to lead, and he wanted to figure out what way was best to lead people. He tried all the tribal gods. They didn't seem to work well. All the pagan gods didn't seem to work well. Then someone suggested to him, you should read a Bible, and he said, what's that? And that person suggested, well, a Bible is a book where God, the good, only, true God, has written down ways of living and leading. And he asked, well, where would I find one? And this person pointed toward Lusaka, the capital city. It was a short walk. It's only 30 miles. And so Alex got some food together and set out and walked to Lusaka on the hopes that he could find a Bible there. He found a library, but the library belonged to the university there, and he could not use that library because he's not a student. But you see, God intervened. And somehow that librarian said, well, okay, you can sit over there at that table and read the one Bible that we have, but you can't take it out. And Alex says, oh, okay, that'll do. And so he sat there at the table and began at the front where you begin any book, and he started reading. And of course, he ran out of time and food and opportunity. He had to put a mark and close it and put it on the shelf, and he walked back to his village. By the way, it's still 30 miles the other direction. And then he worked for several days. He kind of got enough provision for his family, and he did it again. And then he stayed a few days, and he came back, and he did it again. And so he's doing this once or twice a week for 7 years. Yeah, you can do the math on that. He read the entire Bible, and when he got through with reading it, he said, this is the real God. This is the real, correct, true God. He's a believer. And so he goes back to his village and tells them, I found the real God. And they said, no, you didn't, and they kicked him out. So for the next 5 years, he's homeless. He's searching because he knows he's read in that book. He's read in that book that there are Jewish people who are God's people who also love Yeshua as Messiah. He knows. He's read about them. He says they still exist. I'm going to find them. So how somehow he found himself in London, how he got across the channel, he probably walked. I don't know how he got across. I mean, if you can do that kind of walk, you can do anything. But so he got to London, and he was at a meeting there trying to find people like us. And there was a lady there who said, oh, I know where they are. He says, where? She says, Denver, America. Where's that? Well, it's across a slightly larger body of water. She bought him a ticket. He flew to Denver. And one Friday evening, while Pam is up here practicing dance before services begin, and I'm right back over there in my normal place, just trying to recover from a really lousy week, some guy walks in that back door and stands right there, right next to me. We're the only two guys in the shul other than the dance team up here. I said, I'll stick out my hand and meet this new fellow. So I did. And he introduced himself as well, and I said, you're not from around here, are you? Tell me your story. And he did. And I said, Bert, you got to hear this guy's story. And so Bert said, wow, I've got a really, really good message prepared, but I'm not going to give it. I want this guy to come up and tell his story. So Alex did. And we fell in love with him, of course, right? Just as you do. And so Alex and I have been doing this crazy stuff for 20 years now. 20 years. Alex, come on up here. We're going to start with a couple of questions and answers to kind of get him revved up, ready to go. As you guys know, Alex and Faye Yalinga have been planting congregations in Zambia. It's not all easy as maybe you would hope it might be. So I'm going to ask you, Alex, what are the biggest challenges that are facing what you're doing with the not only the congregations but the orphans and the orphanage and the day school there in Zambia?
All right. Shabbat shalom. Well, our God is an amazing God. Thank you, Jay. I think right now it's a lack of workers to take the gospel out there. I don't know if you knew this, but over 42% of the world's population have either not been engaged or evangelized by the gospel. Yeah, so most people who go out on missions, they go to places where people have already been preached to. Yeah, there are about 5.5 million workers in the body of Messiah who are in missions. 99.9% of those go to places where the gospel has been preached. So right now, there's a great need for people to go to places where people don't know about Yeshua. In Africa, where I come from, we have people like the Pygmies, the Bushmen, and others who've never been reached with the gospel. So that's, I think, that's one of the biggest need. If you give somebody the gospel, you've given them life. That's the best gift you can give to another person, especially to poor people. Just changes who they are and their perspective on life. Yeah, so the other need is Bibles. We come from a place where there's so much poverty. Yeah, people live on less than a dollar a day. These are families, they can't afford a Bible. And my heart has been to take Bibles to different places. I know what the Bible did for me, and I just want to share it with everyone. So those would be some of the needs.
Yep. Yeah. And I would caution you, don't bring a whole bunch of Bibles for him to take there. That's fine. We could do that. It just costs more to take them there than it would be to buy them there. So if you want to help with that, please, a donation is really the best way to go. Plus, it helps their economy on the other end, so it's a double win. Okay, Alex. We've talked about some of the difficulties, challenges. Let's talk about some of the victories. What are the biggest victories you're seeing in Zambia now?
Well, not only in Zambia, but in Africa, is to see many people come to faith. Yeah, there's this notion that many of God's people have, that our God may have gone to sleep, or maybe things are not working out. Our God is so much alive. So much is going on out there. We just spend a lot of time looking at all the negative stuff. Some of the victories are to see so many Muslims coming to faith. I don't know if you knew this, but for every 460,000 Muslims, there's only one missionary. But because the Lord said all nations will hear of the gospel, he's been appearing in Muslim countries. And some statistics say that every day 16,000 Muslims are coming to faith. Yes, so it's just amazing to meet some of these people who are like, you know, I met one of the guys who Yeshua revealed himself to. He was a radical, invested in killing infidels. And I met him. He was like, you know what? He appeared to me. He's alive. He was so excited. Yeah, so just to see that, it just blesses my heart. The other thing is to see so many tribes and their leaders. In Africa, we're divided in tribes. Some tribes are huge, like 25 million people. Yeah, but this time around, we have two tribes that the Lord has been working with their kings and leaders. One of them is a Kaonde tribe. Their king, with 250,000 people, came to the Lord. Wow. And yes, this man has almost been assassinated twice for his new faith. He says, I'm not giving up on this great God.
Praise the Lord.
And we've been ministering to him. with Brother Jay here. He's been to Zambia. And just to see so many people come to faith. Another thing has been, another praise report has been reaching out to the African Jewish tribe in Zambia. In Africa, we have mostly Ashkenazi Jews. We also have black Jews in Ethiopia and Southern Africa. They're not kind of related. The African Jews in Zambia, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, they are called the Lemba Jews. They are descendants of Aaron, the brother of Moses. And DNA has proved that. Yeah, so it took us a while. We went there. To cut a long story short, these people, we've been ministering to them. And I remember we were actually, my brother Jay here, when we went to this village, and they kept on looking at Jay. They were like, you know, he sounds Jewish. I said, yeah, he's Jewish. They were like, wow, how come he's white?
I was born this way. I got no choice.
I was like, guys, where have you been? The other thing was, as Jay was sharing with them, he was like, you guys need to really hold on to Torah. And they were like, whoa, 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 hold on. Who's this guy, Torah? We worship the one true God. Why should we follow Torah? We're like, wow, we've got a lot of work here. But anyway, the Lord is amazing, and we are reaching out to these wonderful people. If you want to see revival in the body of Messiah, reach out to the Jew first, then to those of the nations, and we'll have the life from the dead experience. So these are some of the wonderful things the Lord is doing. Thank you.
All right, Alex. All right. You bring us before the Lord.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to say thank you very much. This is the tail end of my trip to your great country. There's so many people around the world who pray for you guys and what is going on in your country. I want to encourage you to set your eyes on the living God. The Lord knows about this day. The Lord is there in the future, and he has promised that he'll take care of his own. Allow me to just thank Rabbi Beth Yellin and the elders for giving me this opportunity to stand before you all. I would like to thank many of you here whom I've come to really love, who support our work and also pray for us. Yeah, as you have heard, it's been 20 years since I first entered this great congregation, and you guys received me as one of your own. And not only did you receive me warmly, you've been a great part of what the Lord has been doing in Zambia ever since. With the help of this congregation and other congregations, God has increased the work in Zambia to over 10 congregations from just one congregation when I first came. We are now reaching out to people in other countries as well, outside of Zambia, like in Zimbabwe, in Malawi, in Congo, even in Ethiopia as well. Yeah, so with your help, I'm glad also to report that the Lord has enabled us to take care of hundreds of orphans in Zambia. And some of the kids we started with, they're now in college. Yeah, we are reaching out to Muslim communities. Some wonderful experiences, just reaching over 500 Muslims at one time, where an entire mosque just gave their lives to Yeshua. Yes, and we're reaching out to our people, the Jewish people. We're reaching out to African tribal communities as well. And we are sharing Yeshua with everyone, politicians, kings and queens, and poor and rich. We are taking the word there. There's been opposition, but the Lord told us that will be like, it will come. My message today is overcoming the challenges of life. I know we are living at a time when the enemy is throwing so much against us to slow us, to discourage us, and to just make us give up. And most of us don't seem to know what we are made up of. We look at ourselves as victims, but I think we should take time to look at ourselves through the eyes of the living God. When the Lord looks at us, he says, you are more than conquerors. When the Lord looks at us, he says, you are the salt and light of the earth. So the enemy is waging a psychological warfare, if I may say, to try and make us feel like we are nothing. There's nothing we can do. Our impact cannot be felt. I want to encourage you that with the living God, we are here to make a difference. It's all about Him, and He's going to do it. He does not need many people to make a change or to make the world realize that Yeshua is the Messiah. But for us to overcome, for us to stand and be what the Lord has called us to be, we need to overcome the challenges that the enemy throws at us as a body of Messiah and as individuals as well. A challenge, as we all know, can be something new, something difficult, which requires great effort and determination, and sometimes may even be life-threatening. Throughout their journey to the promised land, our people, the children of Israel, faced challenge after challenge to their faith. We find that in Scripture. Israel was faced with a more powerful and heartless enemy in the person of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, when our people were leaving Egypt. Israel faced the challenge of the Red Sea. And many of these challenges, when they come, we don't even have answers. And that's what makes them even worse. Our people faced the challenge of the sea. And after crossing the Red Sea, they faced another challenge. There was no drinking water. And a lot more other challenges came up against our people, like the attacks from the Amalekites. And I think the biggest was to occupy a land that was already occupied, with the people who were more powerful, the people who were bigger, and people who were occupying the land. One of the most important things to note is that our people, Israel, were going in the exact path and direction that the living God wanted them to be on and in. They had left Egypt and were following the exact route as planned by the living God, by following the cloud during the day and the pillar of fire at night. Many of God's children are exactly where the Lord wants them to be. But the fact that you are following God does not mean challenges won't come your way. I've learned in my short walk with the Most High God that as when you stand in the center of His will, you will face even more challenges. I believe we are living in very unusual times, and these are very exciting times. The question we must all be asking, why me? Why was I born at a time like this in history? Why did the Lord plant me where I'm at? You guys are here in the United States. I'm back in Zambia. The Lord does not waste workers, and the Lord always has a plan for each and every one of His children. I believe we need to flourish wherever the Lord has called us to be. But for us to flourish, we need to understand the challenges that come our direction. I believe the great God of Israel is using the challenges facing the world today to awaken and unite the body of Messiah. This was a prayer of Yeshua. I pray that they may be one. We are all divided. Everyone is just going his direction. That's not pleasing before the Lord. And I've faced a lot of opposition. Sometimes our people have been driven out, you know, by tribal people with machetes and spears. When they look at us as followers of Yeshua, they don't see denominations. They just see followers of Yeshua. I believe the Lord wants us to be united. I believe He's also using the challenges to build strength and character in His children. You can only reproduce who you are or what you are. He has called you to take His name out there. If we don't have the character, if we do not have the strength, what are we going to give the world? And the Lord is using some of these challenges to build character and strength in us. He's also trying to get us back to the pure word, His word, which is spiritual, His word, which is powerful, His word, which is holy. It's not about our intelligence or what we know. It's about what He is telling us to do. He's also using the mess out there in the world to build a willingness to stand for the truth. With so many people opposing that which is right, we may become fearful, but this is a time to stand out and stand for the truth. We cannot be called overcomers if we do not overcome what comes against us. Overcoming is what makes spiritual life meaningful. Romans 8:37. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He still loves us to this very day. He's still alive to this very day. There's one thing that has happened over and over in Africa where we've faced so many attacks from people who practice voodoo, witchcraft. They'll tell you that there's a ring of fire around each and every child of the living God. They can't touch you. And the Lord tells us, I've not left you. I'm with you all the time. It's not how we feel, but what he tells us. We must understand as we face the challenges against us that there's no testimony without a test. Things that don't challenge us won't change us. There are a number of things we need to know about challenges that will shift our perspective of life and allow us to be more peaceful and powerful in the face of adversity. The enemy wants us to be stressed, to be fearful, to be trembling. And when we are trembling, when we are fearful, we're not good for any fight. James 1, verse 2, all the way to 4. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The storms of life have the capacity to place us in prisons of fear, doubt, discouragement, and even depression. We fear, and sometimes we fear the unknown. We fear the future. We fear the politics around us. When faced with the storms of life, all of us clearly see our limitation as human beings. There's a lot in the universe we don't understand. There's a lot we can't explain. There's a lot more we can't even control. We can't control world events, but we can control how we respond to these happenings in our community, in our country, and around the world. We can choose to be partners with the great God of Israel and be part of the solution, or we can be part of the problem out there. The world seems to be fighting every good thing out there using unconventional means, but we are called not to use the same tactics the world is using. You don't fight fire with fire or a flood with a flood. You don't respond to insults with more insults. You do not respond to wrongdoing with more wrongdoing. You fight fire with water, insult with blessings or silence, and we all know vengeance belongs to the Most High. Romans 12, verse 21, the last part, overcome evil with good. In my 20 years coming to your great nation, I've seen that the enemy uses different tactics. In the Western world, he's very subtle. In Africa and most parts of the world, he's out there, black and white. You need extra grace. You need wisdom to fight this enemy. I know the identity of family and the definition of marriage is under attack in the Western world, and born children are being killed in the name of pro-choice. Public prayer is under attack. The Bible is under attack. The gospel is under attack and is sometimes being watered down by some houses of prayer to accommodate those who may be offended. The secular wants to control or regulate the spiritual. We see this all the time. The messiahship of Yeshua is under attack. And then you have challenges on a personal level, and these may include health issues, finances, relational difficulties, and many more. Every challenge is different. Our people during the Exodus and the wanderings in the wilderness, they felt that they were not being heard. And let alone, they didn't feel like they had any say in the direction or the route of the journey. It happens a lot when God calls you. Sometimes it doesn't make sense. It's like you're just going in circles. I want to encourage you that when you walk with the living God, you get your destination. He sees the bigger picture. We don't. Our job is to be faithful. Our job is to stay close to Him. Past miracles and encounters with the Holy One are not a guarantee that one will overcome new challenges. This is why we need to pray for strength every day to overcome what may be coming our way. But what overcomes the challenges before us? What is that one thing that we need to overcome all these challenges that has made many of God's children to feel like victims, to think that ours is a lost cause? We need faith. 1 John 5 verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith. I believe this is a time, children of God, for each one of us to build our faith. And Scripture tells us how to do that in Romans 10, verse 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Messiah. We spend a lot of time hearing what the enemy is doing. We spend a lot of time looking at all the negative and discouraging news. What does that do to us? It damages our faith. It makes us doubt our God. How about spending a lot more time looking at what our God is doing? Looking at what is happening around us. Of course, I'm not saying we should close our eyes and ears to what is going on around the world, but we should look at the world through the eyes of Scripture. When we listen to what our God is telling us and focus on what He's doing, I believe our faith will be built. Our God may be quiet, but He's not still. Throughout the world, lives are being changed and transformed. As I said earlier on, in Africa, tens of thousands of Muslims are coming to faith. Yeshua is appearing to many of these people who have never seen a Bible. They've never encountered a missionary. He appears to them. He's appearing to them. They are coming to faith. What does that mean to you and me? Yeshua is alive. How real is He to you? Our Messiah, our God, is not an idea. He is real. He is working out there. Lives are being changed. Kings and queens are giving up their tribal gods to follow this great God of Israel. I remember I was with Brother Jay when we were with the Queen of the Gova. We were right there when she declared the end to worshiping the tribal god. She said, this day we're now going to worship the God of Israel. And we just looked at each other. We're like, wow, this is cool. The gospel of Yeshua is penetrating lands and people groups that were once hard to take the gospel to. But what happens if you don't see what He is doing? One wise person told me this: if you can't see His hand, trust His heart. Our God can be trusted. This is a time to remove our eyes from self, from events around us, and focus on Him. Then we'll have the peace that surpasses all understanding. As individuals and as a body of Messiah, we need to know that the challenges that come our way are not meant to destroy us, but to build us. Of course, we don't always have a choice in what challenges we should face. And they are very different. You know, they vary greatly from a bad day to personal setbacks, the economy, bad politics, bad politicians, and even natural disasters. Some challenges are unexpected, and they can last for a long time. But no matter how horrible these challenges may be, they are a way for us to learn something new about our God and about our mission here on earth. It's God's way of growing us or shaking us from our comfort zones so that we may reach our full potential and above all be mission-minded. We should not look at challenges as the end of the world, but as an opportunity for us to even raise higher. An obstacle is not the end of the world for God's children. If we look at Pharaoh during the Exodus, this guy was stubborn. He stood in the way. "Let my people go," he said. "No, they're not." Sometimes I think if Cyrus lived during that time and he was the Pharaoh that time, then we would not have the parting of the Red Sea. We would not have seen what our God can do. When we see obstacles, we should always see that this is an opportunity for our God to even do greater things, for us to see him in a different light. Yes. Because there's nothing impossible with the great God of Israel. Amen. Of course, there are more challenges out there facing the world, but there's no challenge more challenging than the challenge to improve ourselves as individuals. We should also understand that nothing happens to God's children unless our God permits it to happen. Amen. Challenges are sent to strengthen us, even if they don't look like it. And it's natural to flee, to run away from that which is uncomfortable and that which challenges our faith and our personal comfort. I want to encourage you that may you be where God planted you. You may be the only Bible some unbelievers will ever read. When the Lord looks at you and me, he says, "You are the light." When you move out, that place becomes dark. Running away from any challenge or problem only increases the distance from the solution. Ask the prophet Jonah. I strongly believe that it is God's will that we maintain contact with the world out there. We are not to be a part of the world, but we must be the light to this world. Matthew 5:13-16, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." When Yeshua looks at you, he says, "You are salt and light." That's who you are. Salt and light. Yeshua did not say you ought to be salt and light. He did not say it would be a good idea if you were salt and light. Yeshua did not say you can become salt or strive to become salt. But he says you are the salt of the world. And this world consists of billions of people. As salt, we are called to preserve the knowledge of the living God, to preserve that which is good, that which is holy. We all know the function of salt. Salt stops the decay that will occur naturally. As salt, we are called to arrest the decay of this world, the decay of this generation. We are the preservers of truth. That's how the Lord looks at us. When salt is removed, decay sets in. And salt is useless without contact. In order to preserve, salt must come into contact with that which it seeks to preserve. I believe the action is right here and now. Others are called to do big things. Others are called to do small things. Whatever we do for the Lord, even if it's small, it advances the kingdom of God and pushes darkness I believe this is a time to be strong. As scripture tells us in Ephesians 6, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. On our own, we are not strong. On our own, we don't have the resources to fight all the wickedness out there in the world. But how can we be strong in the Lord? I believe in order for us to be strong in the Lord, we must know the Lord's strength. We must understand who our God is. When you know the living God, it is without doubt that you stand tall and strong. I come from a place where there are hundreds of different gods, excuse me. None of those can be compared to this great God. He is the only one who claims ownership of the entire world. His values are so exalted. Our God is in control, and he has jurisdiction over all things, over all nations, including your country, which is the greatest nation on earth, or the most powerful nation on earth. Our God has power over all systems and peoples. The great God of Israel is perfect in power, in wisdom, and in goodness. The great God of Israel is the first cause, he is the effective cause, and he is the final cause of all things. Our God is the source, he is the sustainer, the significance of all things. Yes. He is the power behind all things. He has no equal. Once we begin to know who he is, we're not going to be fearful. Nothing stands in his way. Nothing is beyond him. I remember one time we went to northern Zambia with friends of mine to go and witness. And the people heard that we're coming, and those who practice voodoo, they were ready for us. We arrived after driving for 2 days, and we had four American friends who joined us. And I told my American friends that, listen, guys, you may encounter some very unusual things. You know, just don't fear anything. Call the name of Yeshua. And they looked at me. It's like, are you from this earth? They were like, we don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, we went there. We arrived in the evening. The sun was about to set. And suddenly, there are all these noises, people running through the wall, doors opening and closing by themselves, and we could hear footsteps. My American friends were freaking out. Prayer was made. It was all quiet. We went to the village, and the people came out. They were like, what spirit do you guys worship? We sent all these spells to stop you, and they fell apart. And we told them about Yeshua. Greater is he that is new than he that is in the world. Amen. This is a time to know this great God, to get close to this great God. Nothing is beyond him. Nothing intimidates our God. He does not need to get permission for his will to go forward. Our God is a fighter, and he knows how to win. He has yes. He has never lost a war or cause. As scripture tells us, we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Of course, sometimes we are so troubled because we don't know what tomorrow will bring. Our God knows all things. Our God knows all things known, unknown, and knowable. He knows all things, past, present, and future. Our God knows all things that are actual, potential, or even theoretical. Our God knows what is in heaven, on earth, even in hell. But above all, he knows you by name. He says, you did not choose me, I chose you. He knows you more than you know yourself. I want to encourage you to stand in the center of his will. Our God has not gone to sleep. If we allow him, he'll pour himself into each one of us, and his will be done. Amen. These are the days of living a life of obedience. if we are to be effective in this world. These are days of courageous living. The biblical faith is not a faith for wimps. Sorry, forgive my, I don't know what that means, but I think it means cowards. These are the days of calling upon the name of Yeshua. There is no name in heaven or on earth that is given to all men by which we can be saved. And Yeshua is only a prayer away. These are days of seeking and drawing near to the living God. The boys in our court, draw near to the Lord and he'll draw near to you. These are days of standing on his promises. These are days of victorious faith. The Lord has not forsaken you. He has not gone to sleep. And he wants to do a lot through you if you and I allow him. God bless you and Shabbat Shalom. Thank you.
All righty. Okay, I am reliably informed that the video is queued up and ready to go, so let's do that next. And then as we do that, there will be some folks passing buckets around. If we know that you probably cannot take a trip to Zambia and spread the light into the darkness. It's a very expensive trip, and even just being there is very expensive. But you can help others who are there right now. If you are led by God to do that, then the buckets are your way of doing that. As the bucket comes past you, you can put a check in it that's made payable to Roe Israel, and we will make sure it gets to the right place. For your regular tithes and offerings, the pushkas, the boxes at the back are the way to go. Yes, yes. We have online abilities. It's a little cumbersome right now because you can do it through PayPal online through Roe Israel's website. The problem is that you can't say, designate, I want this to go to Alex Yalenga or I want this to go to Roe. It all goes in the same pot. So what you have to do is follow that up with a phone call or an email. We're trying to get that straightened out so that there's a better button to push, but as of today, we're not quite there yet. So if you want to do it online, and thank you for asking that question because I know there's a number of people watching as well online. So if you want to do that online to help Alex Yalenga, you simply make the donation and send us an email or let us know. Just use the word Yalenga or Zambia, ZMF, anything that gives us a clue. That would be delightful. Right.
And it'll show why, because I can actually put in there why I did it. Then I can attach that to the email.
Okay. And, you know, yeah, good suggestions. You get a confirmation from PayPal, and then you can actually copy that and send that to us as well, and that way we will know. Okay. That's perfect. Okay. Let's get that video up and running. I think we can go ahead and start passing the buckets anytime you guys are ready. That'd be cool. If you also want to begin a monthly sustaining offering to help the Yalenga family together with their ministries there, they have there's a way to do that through Roe Israel as well. Please do contact us. We'll show you how to do that. We have a very clever way of getting money from the United States. Roe Israel is the hub for the United States donations, and we collect them and we get them to Zambia in a very clever way. And it's very efficient. It works very well, at least it has so far. And we're praying that the Lord will keep that pipeline open for us to get money to Zambia in that fashion. And by the way, the overhead cost of us getting money collected here and sent to him there is a nice round number. It is zero. Yeah, so we don't have any slippage. Now, he has to pay a little bit of a bank fee on the other end, but it's nothing compared to the ease of making it all happen. So, yeah, so there's that. The ministries that are in need of support, obviously, is Alex himself, his family's personal support. You know that if you do not feed the shepherd, he cannot feed the sheep, right? So please consider just a family support donation as well. Beyond that, there are ministry segments. One of the big pushes that we have there is is what's called ZMF, the Zambian Messianic Fellowships. There are many of them, Alex has told you. They have been more and they have been less, simply because some are so persecuted they've been disbanded, that there are congregations that have had their buildings taken over by the villagers. The village leadership has seized the well that we dug, and things like that happen. Even the congregations are being driven out by people with spears and with machetes. And so, but the truth is, you can drive the people out of the village, but you cannot drive God out of their hearts. That cannot happen. So just kind of like that, one of those final scenes in Fiddler on the Roof, I guess we might have to wait for Messiah someplace else. So that works even today. So the Messianic congregations, Alex is planting as fast as he can. New leaders are being brought up. One of the things we try and do every year is do a Messianic conference for the leadership, so that we spend a day and a half or 2 days just giving them more tools, more skills, more equipment, and certainly books to help sustain them for another year to educate them. The congregation planting is one thing. Another thing of high importance is the orphanage. You're going to see a picture of that in just a few minutes. It was built by American funds. It was maintained by American funds, and the orphans who live there are getting a chance that they would never otherwise have. Then there's the school. There's a school that's been built into one of the most desperately poor places in Lusaka. Are we ready? Are we close? Yes. Yes. Let me finish with the school, though, before you got. The school has been built in the desperately poor places in Lusaka. Children that live on the street, they have no place to live. Kids that are 5 years old, 6 years old, are taking care of kids who are 2 and 3 years old. That's the realities. They, though, come to school. They get medicine, they get food, they get water, they get education, and they get an understanding of Yeshua. And I will tell you, these kids are performing at such a high level that the government's even been blown away. Yes. Let's look at our video.
Where Jew and Gentile can worship together as a one new man. The Zambia Messianic Fellowship fights anti-Semitism and helps the church to understand their role in supporting the nation of Israel. We are a key participant in the yearly Israel Parade. The Lord has enabled us to make inroads into the Islamic world, as we have seen many Muslims, including imams, hear the gospel and receive Yeshua as their Messiah. We have seen many throughout the nation, including influential leaders, come to faith in the God of Israel, like the Queen of the Goba and her tribe of 50,000 people. Through our Shalom Zambia radio program, we are reaching out to more than 2.5 million people on a weekly basis. The Jerome Fleischer School and Orphanage has over 220 children receiving food, clothing, and an education. As the work grows, we are also witnessing violent persecution, resulting in some of our congregations shutting down and our people being driven from their homes and villages. Even though the work is big, our God is much bigger. I'd like to invite you to join the mission of the Zambia Messianic Fellowship through prayer and financial support as we reach out to the lost house of Israel with the gospel of Messiah Yeshua.